Maybe if they had used salt on these sea creatures, they would have won the fight.
They would have. They look kind of sluggish.
Yeah, exactly. They might have been like snails or slugs. Oh, let's have some escargot.
This is Alan Dean Foster.
And my name is Beth Revis. I'm the author of Rebel Rising, and welcome to Star Wars Tides.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting episode of Star Wars Ties. I am your host, Jameson, and with me is my faithful and amazingly fun co-host, Mr. Lando Fett. And we are jumping into the last episode of the Summer of Stormtroopers series.
There's one. Set for stun. These aren't the droids we're looking for.
Hey, you. Identify yourself.
There's no one here.
Coming fire! Get cover!
Stop that ship! Blast them!
Open the blast door! Open the blast door! Do you know what's going on?
It's them! Blast them! Move along. Move along.
This episode is episode number 38, and I am super excited to be doing it, and without a doubt, one of the first questions I need to ask is, how you doing, Landon?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well. Just getting geared up for back to school. How about you?
We started today, and I am beat.
I bet so.
More time explaining the rules of my classroom and what changes there were, and trying to be the stiff-necked, mean band director that I am not. So it's been a difficult start, but you know what? Day one is done. So 179 more to go.
You're not counting down or anything.
Oh, no. I wouldn't be counting down already. No. Excuse me.
Now, you got good kids, though.
I do have good kids. For the most part, I have really good kids. And I am looking forward to some things that are going on this year. I've got a bigger sixth grade band program than I've had in the past couple of years. So I'm really excited about that.
Way to go.
I get to actually do concert band exclusively with high school this year. Separate from marching band, which is something I've never done before, so I'm really excited about the prospect of having that work. And middle school band, I didn't actually have middle school today. They were on a really weird modified schedule where they got all the rules of the school and how to behave and all that stuff with the administrator and the other teachers. And I was like, so do I even have kids today? And they're like, no. I was like, oh, so extra planning time. Yay! extra time to make copies and accommodate all of the kids that dropped and added my class at random hours of today, because I literally had what I call it the beginning of the year shuffle, because you always have a class list the first day of school, and by the last class of the first day of school, it's a completely different class list.
Oh yeah,
I wanted to be in this class because my friend was in it. I don't want to take that class. I broke up with that guy, and he's in that class. I actually had that today. I had a kid not take my class, and his ex-girlfriend, who is still in the class, goes, he broke up with me, so he's not coming to class. I was like,
wow.
I hope that's not the real reason, but okay.
That's these kids today.
I know. I'm sorry. If you can't even be in a class with your ex, come on now. It's high school. Get over yourself.
And it's a very small high school at that. You're going to see that person a lot.
It's not like you're not going to be able to see him. You walk, there's only one hallway the entire building. It's a big circle.
It really is.
Oh no, I can't go that way. He's over there. Turn around and go the other way. Walk all the way around the building just to get to the classroom that was 6 feet in front of you. Why are you tardy? I saw my boyfriend in the hall and I went the other way.
I won't talk to him.
Yeah. So, anyway, you mentioned that you were reading Thrawn Alliances. This was off air, and it'll be in our blooper reel. You were reading Thrawn Alliances while you were waiting in the pickup line for your kid. So tell us a little bit about what you're thinking about Thrawn Alliances.
So far, the kind of juxtaposition between Anakin kind of being this like hot-headed, hotshot Jedi and Thrawn, this like analytical thinker, is like the greatest thing ever. It's like I was telling you off air. It kind of reminds me of Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson, just the way that Thrawn can analyze situations and tell Anakin, oh, this is what's going to happen because this is going on. Or, you know, I've set up a listening device. Well, we have a disruptor to where, you know, you can't use communications. How are you doing it? Well, and then he goes into this big, long, elaborate story of how he set up like a communication device that's based off subsonic sounds and light flashes and all this other stuff. And Anakin just kind of answers him like by saying, huh, that's a lot of work.
And he's wow. Like,
but yes. Yes, that's a lot of work. But we can communicate and they can't.
Yeah. Guys, you've got to go read it. If you haven't read Thrawn or Thrawn Alliances or now the new one, Thrawn Treason, though personally I haven't read that one yet either, so I'm speaking to myself, go get them and read them. They're great books. They're really good. But it does pose a question that I wanted to go ahead and throw out to our listeners to give us some feedback on. You know, I'm trying to give you guys some topics to respond to. And this episode, definitely the question is, what can you compare a Star Wars story to that is not a Star Wars story? So to give you the example, we just compared, you know, Thrawn Alliances and the Grand Admiral Thrawn-Anakin partnership that is in that book to Sherlock Holmes and Watson. So what is another pair of characters, storyline, plot, something like that, that you can specifically relate to another storyline or book series that you've read and go, yeah, you know, that's so similar. They did something really cool. They really did a, you know, it was neat to see that in the Star Wars universe when you didn't see it in something else. That's kind of what we're looking for. So reach out to us. You can get in touch with us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/StarWarsTies. You can reach our email at StarWarsTiesPodcast@gmail.com. And as always, I would love to get a phone call from you. And if you call us, you can leave us a voicemail. I promise no one will answer because I have the ability to make sure that nobody will answer. You just leave us a voicemail and we'll incorporate it in a future show. The number to reach us for that is 828-331-1873. So call us, let us know what you think. What is some other storyline that you have seen adapted into the Star Wars universe?
That would be interesting. I would like to hear some of these.
Yeah, I would love to hear them. So reach out to us and let us know what's going on, Star Wars Ties listeners. We're trying to get you guys to give us some extra feedback and reach out to us with one of those ways and let us know. And like I said, we'll incorporate it in a future show. I'm looking at hopefully doing a listener feedback episode in the fall series here, the Star Wars Ties Presents Star Horrors. Yes, perfect. Well, listeners, as we were saying earlier, we are jumping into the Summer of Stormtroopers series finale. We have worked our way through several episodes related to Stormtroopers, beginning with our first introduction to Stormtroopers with a read of the Sergeant Creel-focused issue of the new or current Marvel run. This was issue 21. And then we did a takeaway fun episode focused on Star Wars Stormtrooper memes. And then we jumped into the Captain Phasma miniseries, which we are going to be finishing up reviewing tonight, which is a great issue. I'm super excited about talking about this issue.
Me too. That fourth issue makes up for the third one.
Yes, it does. The fourth issue is great. And I reread it last night, and I've looked at it again a little bit today, and I'm just like, yeah, this was such a good issue. So we're really excited to kind of finish that up. And we will also, of course, continue our new segment, which is trying to stump Landon with a little bit of Star Wars trivia.
It's not hard to do.
Well, speaking of, let's go ahead and jump into the Stumping Landon segment with our three Star Wars trivia questions.
A ship? A cup? A ship? A speeder?
All right. Are you ready, Landon?
I got this. I'm ready. I think I'm going to get at least one tonight.
Hopefully. Okay. Well, I have some faith in you. I knew all of these. I knew two out of three. And the other one I could have guessed. All right. Where When hearing the news of the Empire's fall, did citizens topple a statue of Emperor Palpatine? Was it A, Tatooine, B, Naboo, C, Coruscant, or D, Cloud City?
Coruscant.
Ding, 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 ding! You are correct! Yay! All right, next. When Han Solo ordered a rebel soldier to take the squad ahead, when did he say to meet at the shield generator? This is in Return of the Jedi.
Ooh.
Was it A, 0200, B, 0400, C, 0300, or D, 1100?
0300.
Yes! Ding, 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 ding! 2 out of 3! Way to go!
Ooh. All right, pressure's on now. Ooh.
That was the one I thought I could guess. I was like, if you think about it, that one kind of sticks out once you think about the actual, like, the line or whatever. All right, last question. What did an officer report to Admiral Piett they had lost on the Super Star Destroyer Executor? I'll read it again because I don't think I quite read that very well. What did an officer report to Admiral Piett that they had lost on the Super Star Destroyer Executor? Was it A, all shields, B, turbo lasers, C, the bridge deflector shields, or D, the forward batteries?
I'm going to say the bridge deflector shields.
Ding, 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 ding. 3 for 3. Way to go, Landon.
I won the new car.
Yay! Yeah, you didn't win a new car. You won a free t-shirt.
Yes.
Actually, I do have some Star Wars t-shirts. I'm happy to send one your way.
Oh! I won a free I thought I was going to win a T-16. And here I am getting a t-shirt. That's way better.
Okay, good. That's about to I don't have any T-16 Skyhoppers sitting in my garage. But I do have some spare t-shirts, so I'll
what be happy is the one that they're always saying, oh yeah, did you hear about the new whatever? Yeah, they're coming out. They're supposed to be better. Was it the T-14s or the T-15s that they kept making fun of? Because they talk about it in Rogue One. The two, like, stormtroopers are in the elevator. He's like, so did you hear about the...
It's not in the elevator. It's on the beach.
Yeah, on the beach. They're, like, talking about it. I can never remember that one.
I thought it was the T-15.
I think you're right.
And then, you know, the T-16 comes out like a year later or, you know, I don't know. I'd have to go back and watch Rogue One again.
I think you're right. I think it was the T-15 because they're like, yeah, it's supposed to blow the T-14s out of the water.
Yeah. And then they're like a year behind because it's the T-16 flooding around in Tatooine right around the same time.
Yep.
So, anyway, I guess when you're on Scarif, you know, you don't get a lot of free time, so you're behind.
They're kind of backwater.
Yeah, maybe. You wouldn't think such a lockhouse place for the Empire, especially with such great scenery. I mean...
I know.
It's not very often you get to see half the planet explode.
Rogue One was such a good movie.
Oh, it was. It was. It was great. So, let's go ahead and head into the Jedi Archives and read our fantastic final issue of Phasma.
Madam Jocasta Nu, we would like to explore the Jedi Archives.
So good to meet you. Let's show you around. There is more knowledge here than anywhere else in the galaxy.
Such a good issue.
It is such a good issue. But once again, I'm going to have to complain about the cover art.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of it.
Me either. It just doesn't tie to the episode.
It kind of looks like Phasma's should have, like, the planet Earth superimposed in front of her, like a villain or something trying to take over the world.
Yeah. I mean, the movie one, the movie variant is actually pretty cool. I like it. You know, you've got the two stormtroopers kind of flanking Phasma, and Phasma's just kind of hanging out with her blaster pointing slightly off center of the screen. It's pretty cool. I like it. But then you flip the page, and yeah, you get the torn and tattered cape, which is a really cool effect. The nice kind of fade to black red background, which is really cool. But I don't understand the picture.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Like, is it supposed to be force lightning in her hands, but she doesn't have the dark side's power? Is it blood? Like, is it blue blood dripping off of her, maybe?
That could be.
That actually makes more sense.
Did we ever see
the blood of the creatures on the planet that she just kind of leaves to die?
That's kind of what I was wondering, if we see a shot where they're like bleeding or something and that's their blood.
Not that I recall, but I'll look for it when we go in this time and see if I catch it. That's interesting.
Because that would make more sense. That would make more sense if that was what was going on.
She killed it with her bare hands.
Yeah, that's it. No kidding. All right, so we flip the page and we jump, literally jump. I mean, she's like flying through the air in this issue page. We jump into the planet Lupora. Now, I've got to say this. The artwork is amazing. The detail with the rain and the dust, and it looks like an actual like ship riggings kind of sticking out here with all these metal, not metal or wooden poles, just kind of leaning off of the rocks. And, you know, once again, you get kind of a Batman-ish look here.
I was trying to think how to describe that, but it does. It looks like Batman, and I like the little detail. It looks like the pilot has thrown her rifle to her in the air, too.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it looks like... I was trying to figure out why the pilot was there, but that makes sense. Maybe she was throwing the rifle in her direction. I mean, it's just really cool. It's a great scene. You've got lightning bolts striking directly behind her. But, yeah, with the cape and everything, it just screams like base-jumping Batman to me. Totally Christian
like
Bale
that.
Kind of a look.
Base-jumping Batman.
Yeah, definitely. So, anyway, the colors are really cool. And, I mean, the only text on the page is just telling you that we're still on the planet Lupora. And she just jumps in. So, it's an awesome first page. It's a full-page spread. And, I mean, it tells you from the get-go, we're jumping straight into action. This is not going to be a slow-moving issue.
It is not at all.
All right, so tell us what happens when we flip the page.
So you flip the page, and you've got, looks like about five panels here, and they're just different phases of the battle. Like the first is kind of a zoomed out view of her jumping into the pit of all these creatures. Mm-hmm. Then you go over, and there's a little thin, I mean, it's like the thinnest little panel on the page, and she's like smacking the creature in the face with the butt of her rifle. You go over another, you know, panel, and the pilot is kind of off to her side firing into the big group of guys, and she's squishing, and there's a huge squish, which I really like. Big squish.
Oh, yeah.
Like she's just kind of stromping through all these.
It's like she's stepping on the underbelly of one of these things, and just like, instead of making a cracking sound of like a hard shell, think about like a dragon's belly where it's supposed to be soft underbelly. Kind of sound.
And then you go to the next panel, and the pilot's kind of behind her saying, "We're overwhelmed," and she's like cracking two of their heads together, the creatures, like just...
Oh, that's such a good scene.
Just like forcing their heads, like you can tell that she's not going easy on them.
And then the next panel, you've got the pilot shooting a guy behind her, and she's telling Captain Phasma that they have to pull back, and Captain Phasma is like, "No."
"We're not pulling back. We don't ever pull back."
"Yeah, we don't retreat. What are you talking about?" "What you talking about, Willis?" All right, so I have to go back a couple panels here. You mentioned the really thin panel.
Yes.
Look at the creature. Now,
zoom in on it here.
Tell me, does that not make you think of Monsters, Inc.?
It kind of does. It really does. Oh, my gosh.
I can't remember the monster's name. It's the one that's like the antithesis of Mike and Sully.
Randall.
Randall. The purple one. Yeah, it's Randall. Yeah. That's Randall.
Captain Phasma just beat the snot out of Randall.
That's where Randall came from.
He deserved
from,
it. He was a jerk. He was a jerk. He deserved it.
So anyway, that... Sorry, completely random, but that... I was looking, and I'm like, wow, that looks a lot like Randall in that scene. Just, I couldn't think of his name, but I was like, the purple one. The bad guy in the original. Yeah. So, anyway. All right, well, so as we were saying, you know, they squish them, they crack them, they claim that they're overwhelmed, and that is an awesome page. I mean, it's like, that's your action-packed page. So you go from Phasma jumping in to just fist, punch, smack, crack, squish, stomp, shoot. You flip the page again and you get two panels. And like I said, in the last of those little panels on the previous page, the pilot is like, "We're overwhelmed, we need to pull back." And Phasma's like, "No." You flip the page and you get "Not yet." And you see that she's basically encouraging the locals to jump in and attack too. So... she's looking ahead in the top panel towards the armies that they have to fight. And then she looks behind in the bottom panel, and you see some of the locals kind of jumping into the rigging and starting their own contributions to the fight here. Here we go. And I love that her chrome armor has this like purple reflective hue here. I don't quite know where the purple's coming from. I'm guessing it's, you know, some of the natural lighting of the area. But it's just a really neat color to incorporate. We've seen a lot of the blues. We've seen a lot of reds. This is just another texture or color just to add some character to the page. So, yeah, way to go, artist. Which I believe was not Kara. Was it Kara Mango? Now I'm going to have to look it up. It's going to bother me. Anyway, go ahead. Well, I'll look it up.
Oh. So on the next page we turn and we have a full page panel, and it's all of the colonists against all of the Randall-looking sea creatures. And Phasma and the TIE pilot are kind of in the background. They're kind of just kind of shadowy figures, and you hear, now it's a proper war. Let's go. And you have all these great action shots of, you know, the colonists fighting these monsters and these monsters fighting back, and it looks like a really even fight because, you know, it doesn't look like one side has got an advantage over the other in this panel.
Right.
You can kind of see some of the crude, like, spears and farming tools that the colonists have brought with them to fight back. And the
very
the
creatures primitive are just kind by of comparison.
Yeah, the creatures are just kind of using their claws, so it's not like a real advanced, high-tech battle. It's...
No, this is a guts and glory fight kind of thing.
Yeah.
All right, the artist was Marco Cicchetto. That's what I couldn't pronounce the
there
last name. I knew it was something I couldn't pronounce. Cicchetto. Sorry, Marco, once again. But anyway, so I had to look it up. It was bothering me. Sorry. Because once again, I love it. He did a great job. It's fantastic artwork.
This panel here is really cool looking. I like it.
I do too. And I really like what you said, that it looks like it's evenly matched. You know, you've got primitive warfare on one side with like claws and looks like monsters just fighting natural instinct survival kind of thing. And then on the other side, you've got, you know, a pickaxe or a spear that looks like it's held together with actual sticks and stones. You know, but words will never hurt me. Now, what I really like is, that we see the same masks that Phasma had worn as a costume or as a cover.
Yeah.
But you actually see about two or three of them in and amongst the fighters. So apparently that's just a standard local helmet or mask, which was really cool. Now, the text on this full spread page kind of shows that in the background, behind all the fighting, you've got Captain Phasma and the pilot standing off to the side.
Mm-hmm.
And Captain Phasma goes, now it's a proper war. Let's go. We're done here.
She's sneaky, sneaky.
Yeah. She's like, peace out. Good luck, guys. Have fun with that. So the only thing I can think of looking at this is all of the neon blue splatter that we see spread out all over the page is the blood.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And now that I see it and where it's located and stuff like that, it kind of makes sense that maybe that's what we're actually seeing. And that makes the cover a little bit more logical.
Yeah.
Because then it kind of makes it a little bit more like Macbeth.
Maybe she got it when she cracked those two guys' heads together.
Yeah, or like I was thinking, maybe it's the cover artist's rendering of the blood of these peoples are on Phasma's hands.
Oh, I like that.
Very much, you know, kind of a Shakespearean context to it. You know, it's all her fault. They didn't have to go into a war, but they did. And we see that in the next couple panels here. Like, we really see Phasma. And you were going to say something about Phasma earlier, and I don't remember what it was.
Just that she shows just how she got to be, I guess, the captain in the First Order of the Stormtrooper Corps, because she's so just conniving and backstabbing, and, you know, you can't get one over on her without her knowing about it type person.
Right. She's ruthless.
Yes.
She has no mercy. She is cold-hearted. I mean, this is an awesome Phasma to see. When we reviewed the first issue several weeks ago, we talked about how we really would have liked to have seen more of this character on screen.
Yes.
I'm telling you, I would have loved to have seen this character on screen. Now, this would be a villain you would love to hate.
I agree.
So, if they decide to bring her back in Episode 9 in some way, shape, or form, I hope that they show this side of her and really kind of redeem that element of her. Because it's not enough to be in the comics or the book. It's not.
No.
Because it's such an interesting paradigm in the Star Wars universe to just see how ruthless what a seemingly side character could be. So, anyway, when we flip the page, we get three more panels, and we kind of see this massive stone tower with a bunch of ropes and riggings hanging off of it, and Phasma is walking towards it, basically, and the pilot is following, and she goes, "There! Rivas will be there! Stay here and keep watch, and make sure our exit remains visible." And this is where you start to see the humanity of the pilot and that cold-hearted ruthlessness that we were just talking about, Phasma. The pilot's like, "But the battle, what? Like, we're just going to leave them?" And Phasma's response is just awesome. "You forget yourself, pilot. We are here for Rivas, nothing more.
Mm.
And the facial expression that Chiquetto puts on the pilot's face in that last panel is one of genuine concern and, I'd say, even a little bit of regret.
Yeah. She knows what's going on, that they've pretty much led these people to their slaughter.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. All right. Well, we flip the page.
Oh, it's the pilot. Or Revis. Sorry.
It's Revis.
He's just kind of chained up there in the... Kind of reminds me of the Ninja Turtles, in a way, because it looks like he's kind of in a, like, sewery underground cave, but it's really just that tower.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I can see what you mean there.
Got him chained up, kind of like they did Master Splinter that one time. Well, all the time. He always got caught, it seemed like.
Yeah.
But that's another podcast.
That's another podcast. But still, the idea is there. I love, in the second panel, the spacing that they did here.
Yes.
Like, where Phasma just has this towering presence over Rivas. She's just like, you know, his head barely comes up to her waistline, and he's looking down like he's dejected, and she just goes, Rivas. And he's actually happy when he first sees her. Captain Phasma? I've never been so glad to see anyone! And, you know, he's got a smile on his face. It's cool.
He genuinely thinks he's going to be rescued.
Yeah. And then Captain Phasma basically bursts his bubble.
Yep.
Do not pretend with me, Rivas. We both know what we know. I love his facial expression after that.
Yeah.
The smile and then the straight face.
Well, what now then? He kind of knows, like, okay.
He does know.
You know. We know. We all know.
They both know. Like, there's no doubting here. There's knowing on both sides of the scope here. And I love that. It's like, you know, you thought for a minute that maybe she's the only one that knows what happened. But the way this conversation goes, especially as you flip the page again, it's like, no, he knew. He knew that she had screwed up.
He knew the whole time.
He knew she had messed up. And the end result was, you know, that one of them had to pay. So she is basically trying to force Rivas to confess that he had lowered the shields.
Mm-hmm.
And he, of course, refuses to confess because, shocker here, he's innocent.
He didn't do anything.
He didn't do anything wrong. And, I mean, to the point where he screams, he begs. I love watching his facial expression from, like, anger to frustration to panic and begging.
Yeah.
And those three are all kind of really artistically depicted. And that top panel with the shadows and the ripped cape.
Oof.
That's just a really beautiful shot, artistically speaking. Almost looks like the Grim Reaper kind of.
It kind of does.
Yeah, I mean, it's, again, just Chiquetto outdid himself with this particular issue, with some of the beautiful ways of using lighting and shadows and shading to really kind of let your mind create the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Just as much as he actually used the artwork to do so. And then you get to the bottom panel, and it's a very detailed picture of Phasma yelling, basically, or, you know, basically stating, confess, with a blaster pointed right at his head.
You can feel the tension in these. When I was reading this, you could feel the suspense in the air.
Yeah, it definitely builds the tension. You're like, oh, man, this is intense.
Yes.
Well, you flip the page, and what happens?
You see a side shot of Phasma shooting Rivas, and the pilot just kind of gasping, almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And she's close enough to have heard the whole conversation.
Yep.
Especially if Rivas was yelling some of his, like, no, I won't confess, I refuse! Please don't kill me.
Oh, now the pilot's kind of...
culpable.
Kind of thinking, oh no, if she knows that I know, then I'm going to be just as dead as he is.
Yeah, if you flip the page,
mm-hmm.
Phasma leaves to go find the pilot, and the pilot is, like, sneaking around. She looks in and verifies, yeah, Rivas is dead. And she's like, man, if she finds out that I know, that's going to be me. So I'm just not going to let her know. So she's trying to figure out a way to save her own skin, which is clever for Pilot. Way to go, Pilot.
Yes, go Pilot.
Yeah. You kind of get to the point now where you could care less about Phasma. You're rooting for the Pilot.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of how I felt, too. I'm like, man, I hope Pilot gets out of here alive.
Yeah. The Pilot is essentially the good guy here, because she was genuinely concerned and wanting the people to have a successful fight in the war. And, you know, she's obviously sorely upset that things didn't go the way they should have with Rivas. Mm-hmm. Or how she thinks they should have.
Mm. Phasma don't play around.
No, indeed. So the pilot finally catches up to Phasma, and Phasma's like, where were you? I told you to wait in a specific location. And the pilot's like, I had to fight off some of the guys. And then she tries to feign ignorance here. Did you do it? Did you figure out? Did he confess? What's going on? And Phasma's like, the traitor has been dealt with. It's time to get off this worthless rock.
Oh, this next page gets you, though.
It does.
She asks about the Lupror, and she's like, the pilot's like, are we just going to leave them? And Phasma's like, eh, they're doomed. Just leave them. They're going to die.
She's like, no, they have a chance. We led them here. We baited them into this. We can help them win the day. And then Phasma's response is just awesome.
Stone cold.
Yeah, it is. You want to read that for us?
Yeah. And why would we? Why are you even sure we should be helping them? The Lupror are colonists to this planet. Colonists trying to take it from the indigenous population. The planet is rejecting them. They're not suited to its evolution. And it's only a matter of time before they are but a memory. Perhaps a few among them will survive for something else. But they are in their final days. Our arrival simply advanced that timetable. The tide is coming in. When it does, the Rora, who are more than capable in the water, will wipe them out. Time to go. Man, she just basically says, they're going to die. There's nothing we can do for them.
Yep. Heartless. Absolutely heartless. She's like, I don't care that I just wiped out an entire population of people.
She had to clear her name.
I did what I came to do. Yep. I had to clear my name. I had to manipulate my way through success here.
Mm-hmm.
So you flip the page again, and there's the TIE fighter. They made it back. She tells the pilot to prep the TIE fighter, and she wants to be out before the tide finishes coming in. The pilot's like, yes, ma'am. And then Phasma kind of repeats herself here. She says, as I said, the time has come in. The Lupror are all but a memory. So before they even leave the planet, she pretty much assumes that everybody's dead.
Yep.
And then I loved this scene. I mean, I don't love what happens to the BB unit, but I love the fact that, you know, she's aiming. She zooms in on the BB unit, and she fries that BB unit.
Yep, she sure does. Poor guy.
I know, poor droid.
Oh, yeah, that scene where she shoots him.
Hard.
Yeah, that scene where she shoots the BB unit, you kind of know that stuff's starting to go south.
Stuff's going down. Yep. Yep, stuff is going down. So the pilot gets the ship online, and she goes, I think heading back to the First Order's original, at that moment, we get it.
Mm-hmm.
Phasma's like, hands up, turn around. But why? You know why. But I don't know. I don't know anything, and even if I did, I wouldn't say anything. All the time we've spent together, have you really learned nothing? I'm a survivor, no matter what the cost. Today, the cost is loose ends.
Oh, this scene here, what loose end? I'm not a loose end.
I have no way to threaten you, Captain. Please, I know nothing. It doesn't matter what you know. And then, oh my gosh, the top panel on the next page.
Yeah.
Oh, it just takes it right out of you. She shoots the blaster point-blank range through the pilot's back and out her front. And I mean, it looks like a lightsaber went through her.
It does. I was kind of thinking of when Kylo Ren runs Han Solo
through. Killed Han Solo. Yeah, spoilers if you've not seen Force Awakens. But if you've not seen The Force Awakens and you're listening to us talk about this, you're way behind.
Yes, sir.
But anyway, yeah, that is very similar. The only difference is, of course, it's from behind instead of in the front. But yeah, it's equally as just the scene is powerful, lots of red, definitely dead. Now, this is the one time where I sit there, you know, we've talked about how heartless and cold Phasma is, but I'm going to ask you a question.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to sound controversial when I say this. Do you think Phasma had some form of affection? Liking?
I think so. I think the pilot...
Of the pilot?
I think the pilot had grown on her.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just... It seems very uncharacteristic of Phasma to, A, do what she says in the next panel, which was, I was careful, pilot. It will be quick. Mm-hmm. Meaning, I made sure that when I shot you, you're going to die pretty quickly here. And she doesn't even get one word out before she's gone.
Yeah.
She dead.
She,
and then on top of all that, she closes her eyes.
Yep. And later on, too, in another panel, you see that she had some form of affection for the pilot by the way she gives her report.
Yeah. It's true. It's true. So I wondered if you kind of caught on that, too. Because, I mean, it seemed like, of all of the characters, the pilot definitely spent the most time with her in this short frame of issues. And we as an audience started to have affection for the pilot, like I was rooting for her.
Yeah.
But it's kind of odd that even Phasma kind of had that same perspective.
She did. You could tell that over the course of the story that they had become closer, and you know, she kind of looked out for Pilot and told her, you know, how things were going to be and how they were going to go, you know, through the story, kind of like a mentor, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Well, anyway, so you flip the page again, and you find out that Phasma can actually fly a TIE fighter.
Crazy.
Yeah, she takes the TIE fighter off. And we actually kind of do a loop around back to the first issue, because you get a little bit of that police report element of it that we really enjoyed out of that first issue. Captain Phasma's notes continued 4 days ago. After discovering that Lieutenant Revis was responsible for deactivating the shields on Starkiller Base, ultimately leading to the base's destruction at the hands of the Resistance, Pilot, there's a pause.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked that because I didn't catch that the first time I read it, but I did the second or third. She says Pilot like it's a familiar name.
Yeah.
And then she quickly corrects herself, and you see it in bold. TN-3465, and I tracked Revis back to planet Lepora. And that, I was like, ah, now that's cool, because you once again kind of see that element of affection, or at least, you know, admiration or appreciation of the character. And then correction of herself, kind of going back to that protocol-only element that we kind of get. And then anyway, on Lepora, circumstances prevented from returning Revis to the First Order interrogation, so she executed him for his crimes, and unfortunately the pilot died, and the droid died, both in the process. Whoops. And
uh-oh.
You see them, both on the ground there, the fried-up droid and the pilot just lying there. She didn't even bury him. And now I'm en route to rejoin the fleet, which, if you flip the page, she does in the next panel.
She makes it to the fleet. She
makes it to the fleet, and her entrance onto the ship is the tattered cape and everything, and all the stormtroopers are like, whoa, it's Captain Phasma. Man, she looks rough for wear.
She's been through it.
Up with General Hux.
I like General Hux here.
Yeah, he looks rather dashing.
I was going to say, he was drawn fairly well.
Yeah, really well done. So we... trying to figure out that Phasma basically seals the deal on her manipulation here. She basically tells Hux, in short, I found out who lowered the shields for the base. I went and handled the situation, and then I came here. And Hux is like, thank you. I look forward to seeing your full report. You have your division back. Have a nice day.
Yep.
Oh. Time's up.
Woo.
Which is good, because that's
the
flip end. The page, and there it is, you know. And I love that last scene where you kind of have her standing, staring out at the, you know, fleet and the planet in the background, and just to be continued in The Last Jedi.
Yeah, and it was. And then, after having such a great comic book,
they give you a Where's Waldo moment.
I like that. I love that. Where's Phasma? I'm trying to find her. Oh, I see her.
Yep, she's in the... Well, I won't say anything in case somebody else wants to find her. But you see Rey and Han and Finn and Chewie.
Kylo Ren's in there destroying stuff.
Yeah, it's cool. But anyway, so Landon, in TIE Fighter Pilots.
Oh, boy.
How many TIE Fighter Pilots would you give this issue?
I would give it a 9 out of 10.
A pretty high rating.
That's a high rating. I think it's the highest one that I've give to one of the Phasma issues, but it's really good. It pulls the story together really well. Like at the end of the third issue, you're kind of like, okay, this story's kind of, I don't know, I just felt kind of lost, I guess. And I guess you're supposed to before you go into the fourth issue, but
yeah,
this one pulled the story together. It really showed why Captain Phasma is a captain in the First Order and how just ruthless and cunning she can be. Like she said, she's a survivor, and she does anything to survive, and if that means taking out her own, you know, her own team, so to say, she'll do it.
Yeah, and she does.
She does. I mean, she kills the BB unit, the pilot, and lets the colonists get slaughtered.
She even kills the droid. How would the droid even know? The droid didn't go into the battle.
He was just kind of chilling out there by the TIE fighter, I thought.
Yeah, I thought so, too. But anyway, yeah, he wasn't there for like two issues. He missed a lot. But anyway.
Hey guys, what I missed.
Yeah.
Pew!
Oh, bye bye, BB unit. I would give this issue a 9 out of 10 as well. I thought it was an excellent issue. I loved how it tied everything together, but more importantly, I loved how you got emotionally attached to some of the characters and then just had them ripped out of you because of the ruthlessness of Phasma. And I really think that was an excellent style of writing and style of art that allowed us to kind of really see the evil of Phasma, even though Phasma is the main character in this comic. You know, you're supposed to kind of be rooting for her because she's the main item or main character, but no. You know, you start rooting for some of these background characters, and then when they get completely just knocked over, killed, or whatever, it's like, no! Why would you do that? How dare you, Captain Phasma? And, you know, it's perfect, because once again, you're admitting and recognizing the evil that is that character.
Yep.
So I thought it was an excellently written issue, and I'd give it a 9 out of 10 as well. And listeners, go back and check it out. As you can tell from our previous issues, there's a really good amount of material in these four issues miniseries for you to get a lot of Stormtrooper action with Captain Phasma and have a different appreciation for that character from what she is on screen.
That's right.
Well, let's see. Landon, I'm about worn out.
Yeah, me too.
All that emotional upheaval from, you know, watching the pilot die and saying goodbye to the BB unit and the entire population of the Lepora, it takes a lot out of you.
That's right. Watching an entire planet's worth of people get slaughtered is emotionally draining.
Pretty exhausting. Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and ask the next question, I guess, which is the one that everybody wants to know at this time of the episode. What kind of blue milk are we going to leave with tonight?
Ooh, I don't know. I'm kind of down now. I'm not to think about it.
Yeah, me too.
Kind of think.
What's a sad blue milk?
A sad blue milk. I can't think of anything really sad right now, food-wise.
I can't think of a, quote, sad food, period.
I know, they all make me happy.
All right, well, let's do something that makes us happy. How about cheesecake?
Cheesecake blue milk. Oh, yeah, cheesecake would be
cheesecake.
Great.
Oh, that sounds good. So, all right, I pick cheesecake. You put a topping on it.
Sea salt and caramel.
Ooh, nice.
Yes. You know, because the Lepora.
All right. Well, you know.
And because it's just
delightful. Maybe if they had used salt on these sea creatures, they would have won the fight.
They would have. They look kind of sluggish.
Yeah, exactly. They might have been like snails or slugs. Oh, let's have some escargot. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we hope you have enjoyed the Summer of Stormtrooper series as much as we have. The next episode that we're going to be releasing after Landa's Luxurious Library will be our interview with Ian Desher, and I am really excited to share that with you. Rob and I had a great time talking to him a few weeks ago, and I just really look forward to you guys listening to it. So keep your podcast feeds open. We've got another episode of Landa's Luxurious Library coming your way soon, and then after that, the interview with Ian Desher. So you've just got more stuff coming your way. Please give us more feedback. We would love to know what's going on with you and what your opinions are to some of the questions that we've been trying to pose in these episodes. So please, you know, reach out to us through the means that I've told you, which is Facebook, email, or the phone line. And just thanks again for listening to Star Wars Ties. Landon, do you have anything final to say before we sign off here?
No, just stay tuned for the fall and all the spooky shenanigans that are going to go down in the fall.
The Star Wars Ties presents Star Horrors.
Sorry.
I love it. It's coming soon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm looking forward to doing that with Landon and having a good time. So, guys, just keep listening. We've got a lot coming your way, and we're excited to do it, just as hopefully you're excited to listen to it. So, without further ado, we hope that you will enjoy reading the entire miniseries of Captain Phasma, and we certainly hope that you will take our recommendation to check it out. And while you're at it, we hope that you will slurp on a delicious salted caramel cheesecake and blue milk. May the Force be with you.
Goodbye.
Another one down.
Another one down, and the Summer of Stormtroopers wrapped up in a nice package.
Yeah. Doop, doop, doop. Another one bites the dust. Doop, doop, doop. Oh, sorry.
That's okay. I was getting down to it.
Yeah, I guess get some queen in there. You know, Captain Phasma is essentially a queen.
She is. It's true.
Yeah.
She's the queen of the stormtroopers.
That. Ooh, she's the queen bee.
She is that. You proved that.
Oh, yeah. She's definitely murderous and vicious. No doubts there.
Indeed.
More feedback. More.
I will say this about Lola, though. On her little, like, you know, she did her little first grade board, like her little chalkboard, like, I'm going into first grade. I'm in Miss So-and-so's class.
Yeah, we just did that for Emily, actually.
I want to be this when I grow up. My favorite color is this. On her interest, she put cats, princesses, and Star Wars.
Excellent choices. Though, I'm a little curious about the cats.
She just likes cats, like anything kitty cat, like she really likes. And she likes the animal cats, too. Like, she wants to play with every cat that she sees.
Well, she can have my cat.
It wouldn't want her. She's one of those, like, I think the best way to describe it is, like, if you've ever watched Tiny Toon Adventures, Elmira, the little girl that, like, hugs the animals to death, that's her.
Oh, okay.
Well, and that's how she is with cats. Like, our cat will be in a headlock, being carried around the house. Like, look at the kitty, Dad. Yeah, you're hurting her. She can't breathe. Her eyes are bugging out. Stop.
Maybe I should give her my cat. Because my cat is Satan, and that might be good punishment.
Oh, and she's one of those. She's like, ow, the kitty's scratching me. We'll put it down. But I love it. No, you need to put it down. You're going to have scratches all over you. Stop.
Just squeeze a little tighter. You know.
But I was proud. Star Wars was one of her interests.
There you go. Princesses and Star Wars made it on the list. That's a good win right there.
And, you know, those two can be combined because there are
princesses. There is a Disney princess that is a Star Wars character. Princess Leia.
She's the coolest Disney princess. She's the only one with a blaster.
Yeah, that's it. And she's the only one that wears a bikini. But.
And drives a speeder bike.
And drives a speeder bike. And shoots stormtroopers. And stands up to Darth. I mean, you know, she's just amazing. Princess Leia's awesome.
She is. She's one of the first, like, you know, quote-unquote damsels in distress that wasn't really in distress. She was just needing a ship to get out of there.
Yeah. She really, well, she was locked up. Can't argue the fact that she was locked up. But once they got her out of the prison cell, it was like, all right, I'm good. Thanks. That's all I needed.
Thanks.
I just needed you to unlock the door on the other side. After that, I'm good to go.
Can you guys give me a ride to Yavin? Thanks.
Yeah. My wife is looking at me like, what? You're like, I cued you, actually, you know, like a band cue. And she's like, what are you doing? There's a ghost
scary,
sound on the
ghost.
Other end. It's very scary, spooky ghost. Yeah. She never listens to this podcast, and I think every time I record, she just, you know, pretty much sets it in stone that she never will.
Yeah, that's kind of my wife. She's like, you go do your... And she's telling me that she go do your nerd thing. I'm going to go in here and lay down.
You go do your nerd thing. That's great.
Told her I may be a nerd, but at least Disneyland recognizes me now.
That's true. We have our own park in Disney.
That's right.
Boom. Where is Hallmark Land?
That's right. Where is makeup and purses and fashion land? Oh, it doesn't exist.
Well, they kind of have that at Disney.
Yeah, they do, but we won't tell them that.
The Bippity Boppity Boutique, is that what it's called?
I think so.
She just called me out.
Well.
All right. I have two girls. I have to know.
I have one, and she's so into fashion now that it's ridiculous.
Where are you at in the story?
I am where they're starting to find out that there are two, instead of one person, they think that it's two on the planet. They've just, like, captured the cargo ship, and they're going through the cargo. And they find all the gold and all the heavy metals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. So they're about to... You're talking about Anakin and Thrawn here.
Yeah, back in the Clone Wars time. Yeah,
back in the Clone Wars era. Yeah, I love the time shift in that book. That was really fascinating to me. I really enjoyed that.
Thrawn's just as intelligent and analytical in the past as he is in the present.
Exactly. Yeah. Once again, great character.
He really is. He's like you said, the Sherlock Holmes of Star Wars. Like, he can take any situation and deduce what's going on by it.
And have most of the other characters looking at him like, how did you figure that out?
Like, the one scene I was reading today, they were watching the thugs eat, and Thrawn said the one eating with his right hand is the leader. And Anakin's like, how can you tell? He said, well, all of these men are right-handed, and they're eating their food with their left hand. They want their hand on their dominant hand on their blaster, correct? And he said, yeah, that makes sense. He goes, he has to be the leader because he's eating with his right hand. It affords him a little bit more luxury to grab his blasters if his guys start firing first. And I'm like, oh my gosh,
I would have never thought of that.
That is so logically sound that I would have never thought of that.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. So does that make...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Does that make Anakin Watson?
That's what I was wondering. Elementary, my dear Anakin. That would be a cool series in and of itself. The adventures of
Thrawn and Anakin.
Sherlock Thrawn and Dr. Skywalker.
Dr. Skywalker. Why, it's elementary, my dear Skywalker. Elementary.
Obi-Wan could be Moriarty.
Ooh, that would be interesting. I'm not so sure. I would actually say Palpatine would be Moriarty. He's kind of a mastermind. I mean, if you think about it from the Throne Alliance, think about that beginning of the book where you've got Palpatine kind of...
Yeah, that's true.
Manipulating Vader and Thrawn. That's interesting. I might pose my question for this episode. Anyway. All right. Well, do you want to go ahead and jump in?
Let's do it.
Not trying to rush, but at the same time, I'd like to go to bed at a decent hour.
I don't blame you. Yeah, we gotta get up and get ready.
Yeah, I know. All right. Well, let's see here. I still haven't figured out what effect I'm going to put for this. I'm debating, which do you like more? Do you like... They're both Phantom Menace references. The first one is when Rick O'Lee is quizzing Anakin about the different parts of the ship. You know, and what's this? Mm-hmm. What does it do? What's this? Oh, that's this. And it does this. And I was, wow, you catch on pretty quick, kid. Either that one, or when Anakin is being tested at the Jedi Temple. A cup. A ship.
How filled you?
I like that one.
Which one?
The Jedi Temple one.
Okay, so I'll try that one, I think, and see if I can get a good audio clip for it to squeeze in as the, you know. Sorry, had to scratch my beard.
Oh, that's okay.
It was Coruscant. Nice try.
I showed up 45 minutes early, and I'm like, you know what? I've got some time. I'll go sign her out and read Thrawn Alliances while I waited. So that's what I did.
Good deal. Awesome.
I find that's my reading time. Waiting on my kid to get out of school, that's the best time to read my Star Wars books, is I sit there in the parking lot and just read them on my phone.
There you go. Because you use your Kindle app or whatever.
Yep.
Well, thank you very much. Well, this was fun, and I am so glad we got done. I've already got, you know, several minutes into the episode that's supposed to be released this weekend. I'm still going to kind of work on it this week and see if I can get it edited and released on time, which would be great. And then I've got actually two more things. I need to record an episode of Lando's Luxurious Library because I finished Red Harvest, the other zombie Star Wars book.
Cool.
This past weekend, which was really good. Kind of combined zombies and Frankenstein a little bit, which I look forward to kind of reviewing. And I'm going to put that in our horror series. And then I need to edit the interview with Ian Desher so I can actually release it on time. So. Star Wars Bar.
Can you forget all the creatures in there? And hey, Darth Vader in that black and evil mask, did he scare you as much as he scared me? Star Wars! Those here in Star Wars! My seventh winner up here! Star Wars!
Hey,